Hello, everyone, and welcome to Virtual Minds. I'm here today with Rexus VR. Say hi, Rexus.
Hello.
So I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to know what got you into content creation, and how long ago you started, and maybe some conventions that you've been to, or what your aspirations are. So, if you don't mind, could you introduce yourself just a little bit and what you do as far as content creation or whatever?
So, my name is Rexus VR, also known as Sophia Rexus. I mainly do content creation within VRChat, and I also make renders in Blender.
Oh, okay. How long have you been doing the Blender stuff?
Probably about 2-3 years now.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So how did you take any tutorials before messing around with Blender?
Oh, so, okay. So that's a very interesting story. So I already had some knowledge within Unity because I had been making avatars for about a year when I started. And I was like, oh, I've got Unity knowledge. Blender must be pretty easy. And I load up Blender and I import the model. And then for about an hour, I was trying to figure out how to get into pose mode so I could actually move the model. And then I looked online and I had to look through like 5 different tutorials that would tell me, oh, you just go up to the top left and go into pose mode. It's like, it was that easy?
Dude, okay, so I downloaded Blender myself a while back, but I'm just recently, as of this year, really started messing with it, and I figured out that you're supposed to get the FBX to put it onto Unity, or sorry, onto Blender, and because I have the avatar in Unity, but I didn't have it in Blender, so I get the FBX and I get on there, and there's no color, and I'm like, what do I do? And then I eventually had to figure that out. And then the worst part was the eyes, because the eyelids had to be made of like glass, and oh god, that was an adventure in its fucking self trying to figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
I had to call so many people.
So I assume that you're doing everything with the Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Rex, the Canis has the same problem. Is it's got like a material that goes over the eyes. Yes. And that's what gives it like that shine that you see in some worlds. And in Blender, it's like, this needs to be transparent or you can't see your eyes.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Unless you just want the white, soulless eyes.
It was like reflecting the background that wasn't there. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the background lighting, yep. Quote unquote. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, it kept reflecting that. And I was like, oh god, it looks awful. I can't fix it. What do I do? So what tutorials did you start with? Because I started with the donut tutorial and I'm about halfway through it right now. And that's probably the most informative one I've found so far, at least from the ground up perspective.
So I have over 700 hours in Blender and I have not made a single model.
Oh my god.
3D modeling software. I have not made a single model.
My god.
But okay. A lot of the tutorials that I watched were like, at first it was like how to get materials on your model, how to add the textures, and then how to import like scenes and all that to like have a background or like an area that you can actually pose your model in. And then later on, I watched tutorials on how to make your renders more high quality. And it was like, oh, you can change the resolution to like 4K and 8K. So my idiot brain was like, oh, let's go ahead and bump that up to 16K. Let's try a render like that. So I posed the model, and I was like, oh, this looks really good. I can't wait to render it. Save, hit render, Blender crashes.
Ooh, I've had that issue recently.
This guy just dies. I was like, ah!
So the worst thing that I've ever had happen to me when making a render is I was making one for Ferality Aqua to show off my Aqua avatar. And you know how they had all of the fins that you could attach to your avatar?
Yeah.
I probably had about like 30 to 35 fins on the avatar, and I got everything attached. And I was like, okay, now all I need to do is render it, or is light it. So I'm gonna render it and see how it looks. So I go to hit render, and it rendered for about 5 seconds, and then Blender crashed, and I lost all my progress.
Oh God! How much time do you have into the project?
About 2 hours.
Oh.
So, some advice that I have for anybody that is getting into artwork or like render stuff or any sort of anything: save your project for the love of God, because you will regret it when your program crashes and you lose all your progress.
It's not like Microsoft Word where your shit crashes and you're like working on a dissertation or some crazy shit, and then it goes, hey, we backed up your file, and you're like, oh, thank God. No, none of that. It just goes, nope, you're done. It's gone.
Yeah, not all programs do that. So Blender has an autosave feature, thankfully, but mm-hmm. I tried using Maya to be like, oh, see if I can like edit the model a little bit. Like, oh, I'll add some like muscles here, some muscles there, alter the face a little bit. And I altered the Rex a little bit to make it look more fox-like. And I went to go and hit export, and it crashed. And I was like, okay, I hope this had an autosave. It doesn't. Maya doesn't have an autosave feature.
Oh my God. How long?
Thankfully, it didn't take me that long to do everything.
How long have you been using Rex avatars?
Oh, ever since it came out. I bought it on launch day.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You've been doing this shit for a hot minute.
You could say I'm one of the OGs.
You know, I just, you know, Rex. It's, you know, just it's a name.
That is actually where I got my name from.
So Aga, apparently she was amongst, I guess, that group of individuals as well. Her name was Agapitos, or Agapitos, I think is how you say it. Anyway, and she said that somebody gave her the nickname of like Queen of the Rexers or some shit. I don't know, but she was like, oh yeah, I used to be part of that community, and then, you know, stuff. You know, this stuff happened.
And stuff.
Yeah, you know, with the, you know, whole Brazil thing, but hey, you know, it is what it is, and the community's still large, and it's like, you know, I like the Rex, right? So I'm gonna use the Rex. I like it. And
yeah,
dude, there's so much shit you can get for it. Is that what you mainly work on, is Rexes?
So for the longest time, the Rex was the only avatar that I would work on, and I would occasionally work on others. Like, the models that I would work on the most before I started buying more was the Rex, the Wicker Beast, and the Canis. Those were the three models that I worked on the most. Nowadays, it's like, oh, a new model comes out? Give me that.
The fucking the Nova like, Beast.
I bought like the new Nova Beast within a week.
It's a boom. It just explodes. I was like, oh shit.
New model. Give me.
Oh, what's the Resium? You know the Resium, I think is what it's called. The one, yeah. That Hirozu, I'm trying to get them on the show. Hirozu, I can't remember how to say their name.
Hirozu, yeah.
Hirozu, okay. So yeah, I was, they joined my stream one time, and I was like, oh, you made the Razim or some shit. Like, I'm bitching the fuck out of it. And they were like,
the
it's pronounced like this. I was like, oh, my apologies. Hey, you want to be on a podcast? And they're like, I don't know. Okay. You guys, can you see my fucking avatar's name? All right, fuck this guy.
You can't even say my avatar's name right. I am unfollowing you and blocking you.
So what's your favorite model to work on?
So far, out of all of the models that I've gotten, I think the easiest one to work with is probably has to be the Nova Beast.
Really? And why is that?
The Substance Painter file is... So it's mainly the Substance Painter file. Like, when it comes to avatars, if you don't have a good Substance Painter file, nobody's going to want to texture it. So something like the Rex is a really... really good example of a bad Substance Painter file and bad UV mapping.
Yep.
Because if you looked at the UV mapping for the Rex, it's like, oh, you think, oh, this will be here, like the tail will be here and the arms will be like right here and the legs will be right here. No, it's like right leg is here, left leg is your right arm is up here, head is down here. And it's like, oh my god, this is horrendous. And so I use the one of the modified versions that Kirai Kitsune made.
Okay.
It's both got a better tail and it has a better Substance Painter file.
Okay. Are you able to transfer all that stuff onto the modified Rex to make sure that everything's easier?
Yeah, so
or?
If you have a texture, like, let's say you have a texture like this. I got this one off of Gumroad for like, I think it was like 10-15 bucks, and you can use it on both the normal Rex and the modified Rex.
Okay. And the only for those of you that can't see, it's like an all black body with gold like leopard spots on both the flanks on the left and the right side and down the outside of the arms all the way down to the hands on the upper side of the hands. It's and also on the face and the ears. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And the only difference is that the tail is a different mesh. So all you gotta do is just apply the body material to the tail.
Okay. And you said then the Nova Beast is just like top tier as far as the texture file?
Not only is it an optimized avatar, like, I have a version of the Nova Beast that is only like 3 megabytes compared to this one, which is like 30 to 40.
Yeah.
And so let's say you upload an avatar that is just base avatar, no clothing, no accessories, no hair or anything. The Nova Beast will be like 2 megabytes. The Rex will be at around 10. But that's because the Nova Beast is a lot more low poly than the Rex. The Rex is extremely high poly compared to the other avatars.
Okay. And so if somebody wanted to start messing with avatars on, let's say Blender, for instance, we'll start off with Blender and then we'll talk about Unity in a little bit. But as far as Blender, what tutorials should people go to in order to start from absolute scratch and then kind of be able to find their way further on later on?
Yeah. So what I was thinking about doing for the longest time is I want to start a tutorial series on how to do renders in Blender. And the next virality, not this one.
Would you be able to explain to the audience what a render is? Because some people may not know.
So what a render is you import your avatar into this program called Blender, which a lot of people use for 3D modeling, but you can also use it for 3D rendering. So what you do is you import your model into Blender, you get all the textures on it and everything, make it look the way you want it to, and then you can render it into a 2D image. And it's basically like you're doing art, but it's 3D.
and you're kind of like taking a picture, essentially, right?
Essentially, yeah. It's the same premise as like taking out your camera and taking a picture in VRChat, but instead of posing everything with like your hands, your head, and your legs, you do it all with your mouse.
Okay. And so continue on for the tutorial series that you're thinking about doing, and then any resources that would help anybody.
Okay, so there is a ton of resources that you can find online. So I want to be part of that. And what a lot of people don't do is they don't really tell you how to import a model or how to apply textures. Yep. Because they just
that was a big problem.
You're just working with they're just assuming that you're going to be working with a model that just has base colors that you can change on the material. So I want to teach people how to import into Blender, how to apply your avatar's materials to it, how to actually render it in the first place, how to move your model, how to do everything. And what I want to do is I want to get in contact with Ferality, and not this one coming up, but the one after this one. I want to have a rendering 101 panel.
Okay.
It's like what you need to get started, how you do everything, and like the basics.
Okay. That sounds like a really good starter. Are you going to do any videos prior to doing that? And are you going to do them on YouTube, or are you going to do them on other platforms?
So I'll probably upload a few to TikTok and then upload like the full length videos to YouTube.
Okay.
Because that's where everybody goes in order to find tutorials and all that.
Okay. Okay. Now what about Unity? For the audience that doesn't know, what's the difference between Unity and Blender?
So Blender is how you do like base mesh modifications to your avatar. Unity is how you add like necklaces or like hair and clothes to your avatar to upload it to VRChat. You can do that in Blender, but that requires like a little more knowledge in order to do that. And then if you import it into Unity, you then have to set up all the fizzbones, the animator, which thankfully a lot of avatars that are out there, they have a Unity project that is already set up for you. So all you need to do is apply your textures.
Okay. Sweet. Is there a model that, or a species, I should say, that you absolutely don't want to fuck with?
So that would probably have to be probably the Canis.
Really?
Which I will occasionally do. Yeah. So I will occasionally do avatars with the Canis, and I'll occasionally do renders with it. But the problem that the Canis has is, compared to the Rex, it has like 3 times more blend shapes. So what blend shapes are is like is like shorter ears, or like they're like sliders that you can adjust.
Yeah, like a
shorter ears, like a shorter, longer
to try
muzzle.
And do all the defining details that you want to do for your avatar.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, a blend shape is whenever he says sliders, if you actually look at the blend shapes on Unity, it's literally a slider, like as if you grab a knob that went from right to left, 0 to 100, and you're like, oh, I want the ears to be at 54% because I like the length of that, not 100%, not 0%. You can sit there and mess with the length or the shape of the muscles or whatever. That's what a blend shape would be.
Yeah.
And you said it has like 3 times as many because the Rex has a shit ton.
Yeah. So the Canis, there's just something about it that people don't like working with. And that's why there's a lot more accessories out there that are made for the Rex and not the Canis. Because the way that it's set up, you have to add almost every single blend shape that is on the Canis. And it's got like, oh, a blend shape to like slightly change the chest size or like slightly change how the face looks or like add a little bit more muscle to your avatar. It's like, it's got a blend shape for your chest, your stomach, your legs, your arms, your face.
Like a peck? Is it like this one? Is it this one? That would be ridiculous.
Okay. It's like, okay, I get it. You like having an avatar that has a lot of customization to it, but there's avatars out there that have customization properties to it. Like with the Nova Beast, it has an option to remove the ears and remove the tail so that you can change out the ears and change out the tail.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so instead of it being a permanent fixture on it. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So another example of a really good model to like make yours, the Kit Fox by Milo Fox, a really, really good avatar to start out with because it's got a really good substance painter file. The Unity project is really nice. It's just one of the best avatars that you can start out with. And the thing with the Kit Fox is you can remove the ears, the tail, and it has a lot of blend shapes that'll like shrink the arms, shrink the chest, the stomach, the legs, so you can add clothing to it that's not made for it.
Okay. That's actually kind of cool. I've actually met Milo Fox, and I think it was actually like maybe the week or two after they released the Kit Fox. Of course, they're running around in the Kit Fox. And I was like, hey, that's a really cool avatar. And they go, thanks, I made it. And I was like, you made it? Or like you just like altered the stuff on the avatar? And they're like, no, I made it. And I was like, well, look at you, high speed. I was like, isn't that fucking cool? I made him laugh a whole bunch. But that's somebody else that could probably get in the show. But yeah, they're very, honestly, they seem like a really good, wholesome person from the conversations that I've had with them. And I think they like I honestly after it was released, I kind of looked into it a little bit and I was like, yeah, they put a lot of work into this one. It's really good.
Yeah. So if I switch into my Kip Fox real quick. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, I haven't loaded into this in a while, so it's going to take a couple seconds to load it. So all of the clothing that I have for the Kit Fox is actually made for the Rex. Like, this is Rex clothing that I have on right now. And then so is this one. This is the clothing that I had on my Rex. It's just, like, you can shrink down the arms, so there's absolutely no clipping at all at like the joints and all that.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool. Wow.
It's a really nice model to work with. That's why from now on, I'm going to recommend the Kit Fox for people that are just starting out with Unity work.
I think that's a good idea. Because it seems like the Rex would probably be about mid tier as far as understanding of how to manipulate avatars. I wouldn't say it's a beginner. And because whenever you get a Rex, and I'm sure this is your experience too, you get like five fucking versions whenever you get it. And I'm like, why is all this in here?
Yeah, that's
I'm so confused.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem that a lot of Rosillo's avatars have. Is it's like, oh, you have this version. It's like, oh, you got the one mesh, you got the feather options and all that. You got the extra chest bone. You can get rid of the extra chest bone. It's like, somebody who is just starting out in Unity is not going to know what any of that shit means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And Rosillo doesn't have any sort of tutorials out there on how to set up the avatar.
Now you said that there was a someone that modified the Rex. Did they do any tutorials with that at all?
So from what I've seen, Kirai hasn't done any sort of tutorials, but there are people that are in his Discord which is where you get the model from, that will tell you and help you set up the model.
Okay. Oh, and I do want to say one thing to the viewers. If you learn how Unity works and you learn how Blender works, you just learned pretty much half a degree's worth of fucking graphic design. I shit you not. You are literally jumping the fucking gun and putting yourself in a position to actually work on video games or whatever the fuck it is that you want to do. And if you actually learn how that stuff works and you decide to get into fucking animation, dude, you can make your own fucking game and shit. Like, it's a pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, am I wrong?
So, what I'm planning on doing is, at some point in the near future, I want to apply to some sort of like 3D modeling company or anything like that. And I want to use that as my career because I really, really enjoy working in Unity and Blender. And I would love to learn how to work in other programs like Maya or Autodesk Sketch, stuff like that.
Okay.
And just learn how to do everything. I had a little bit of a jump start because in high school, there was this class called... Oh, excuse me. There was a class called Elements of Game Design.
That sounds fancy.
And yeah, it taught me how to do Unity work. So I already had a basic understanding of Unity. And so I want to further that and like possibly go to college. I was originally going to go to college for music, but I have a more fun time doing 3D work than like, let's say, playing a guitar or something. Because I just find it a lot easier for me to learn how to make a model than it is to like learn how to play guitar.
Oh, I could understand that. Well, I mean, you've already got the basics, right? So if you were in high school doing messing around with music for the majority of the time, it'd probably be vice versa now. So it's
So it's funny because I had less time in Unity than I did doing music, because I took band for 2 years in middle school, and then took choir for 2 years in middle school and 4 years in high school. And I was actually in my school's honor choir in my last year of high school.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I did honor choir in eighth grade. Back in the day. that's the only music experience I've ever had. And here I am trying to learn it all later on. And I got all the equipment. I got me a Machine Mark III. You know, I got a complete control M32 keyboard. And now I have a Traktor, you know, tractor, right? From Native Instruments, you know, fucking disc jockey setup. And I'm like, ooh, and I'm going to start messing with that. But so... When did you decide that you wanted to go from music to graphic design? Like, what made you want to jump ship onto that? Because it seems like with all the music stuff that you were doing, you were pretty invested in it. And now, fucking 90 degrees off to the side. So what happened?
So it was probably once I started getting into VRChat. So I started playing VRChat back in 2020. And that was 2 years after I got out of high school. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I started out in desktop mode and I was like, oh, this seems interesting. And I would go to public worlds and I would just kind of like, so there was one time with Fur Hub.
Okay.
Before it died.
Before you jump into that, Furry Jesus, right? Tower of the Sun. We Furry Jesus, we acknowledge you. Go ahead.
So, back before Fur Hub died, it was the world that I would go to the most. And in that world, I met somebody named Bandit. And I had been friends with him for a couple months, and then he was like, I'm going to make a world. And I was in the world, I was in the VC with him when he was making the furry hideout. Or not furry hideout, okay. Furry talk and chill.
I was yes.
I was in the Discord with him when he was making the world, and I used to be a moderator for that world. I went from being this person that was just like in the back, just by myself in desktop mode, and this random Avali avatar that I made, and just like watching people mirror dwell. And then I met Bandit, and he's like, "Oh, what are you doing back here?" I'm just like, this was back before I had a good microphone. I had a really shitty headset mic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to him, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just kind of like sitting back here, just kind of watching, seeing if anybody comes up to me." And he's like, "I didn't understand a single word you just said there." So I would. So I messaged them on Discord, and we started talking on Discord. And then that same year for Christmas, my mom had got me the same mic that I've been using since 2020. She got me a pseudo-tech microphone that like clips onto the side of your desk, and I've been using the same microphone ever since.
Really?
And he heard that. Yeah. And he heard the microphone. He's like, "Holy shit, I can understand you now." And so we would chill in Discord calls and all that, and it just kind of went on from there. And once I started making avatars, I was like, "Oh, this is like really easy for me to understand," because I went from making one avatar that looks like absolute dog shit to avatars like this within like 6 months.
Oh, wow. It looked like a blue raspberry sherbet, you know, ice cream. I think it's pretty cool.
So, it's funny. This avatar is based off of the Rocket Pop.
Yay! Ice cream! I was right!
So, I think I still have it set up, but if you boot my nose, I think I have that on.
Oh god, I had a mouthful of fucking alcohol, so it burned a little bit and laughing. So what happens is whenever I boot my nose, fucking Rocket Pops fly out. it fly yep. all around. It's kinda cool.
I've also got this.
Oh damn. Yeah, that's yep, there you go. Fucking badass Rocket Pops.
You think I'm based off of Rocket Pops? I have a sneaking suspicion that this avatar might be based off of Rocket Pops.
Yeah, so it's fucking maybe. I don't know. So after you're hanging out with Bandit and he created Furry Talk and Chill, then what happened?
So I was a moderator for a Furry Talking Show for about a year. And it just like kind of, I met some other people and I just kind of like slowly moved away from it. And I spoke to Bandit about it and I was like, "Hey, I'm not really in the world as often as I used to. If you want to like take away my moderator privileges, I would understand." And he's like, "Okay, I get that." So removed my moderator privileges from the Discord and all that. And I ended up accidentally unfriending him when I was doing a big like friends list purge. And I was like, I still have him added on Discord, still have him added on Steam, so I'll try to get in contact with him again sometime later in the future. And then I just completely forgot to. Like, we're still friends on Discord and Steam. I see him get on games every once in a while. I'm just not friends with him on VR chat anymore because I was stupid and unfriended him. And then, I think it was about a year ago, he gave Furry Talk and Chill to somebody else because he was dealing with a lot of, like, life bullshit, like college, working, and he just didn't have time to work on the world.
Okay. Yeah, I remember something happening, and I think he got banned from VR chat by the staff or some shit. And because that happened, something happened with the world. What happened with that? Do you know?
So there was a small amount of time where Furry Talk and Chill got deleted, and that was because his account got banned. I'm not entirely sure how he got it back, but I don't really have an idea of what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I remember it vanishing, and I was like, well, fuck, I guess I'll go to Free Hideout. which is now the fucking gold standard of furry places to hang out as of right now. I'm sure more worlds pop up.
Yeah.
Furry Hideout's been around for a while, and I've actually met Lieutenant Shadow at MFF, along with a shit ton of other people from VR chat, which is super fun. But yeah, it's really interesting because now he's got the most popular furry world in VR chat at the moment, and he started to modify it, and he also added a fucking sticker wall, which I thought was probably one of the most probably one of the smartest moves to do for community engagement. In all honesty, I thought that was probably pretty fucking sweet. My sticker's on there. my God damn it.
Yeah.
Sit in the fucking chair. Anyway. I hate this fucking chair. But, yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Yeah, so Furry VR Chat Worlds, the first one that I know of was Fur Hub. And that's where everybody went, because it was like, you would go to Fur Hub and it would have all of the avatars that people have made, and it would have like another section with worlds that you can go to, like right in the middle. You would turn on a switch and it would have like 50 portals in the middle for different furry worlds that you could go to. And then Furry Talk and Chill came out and that got popular, and Fur Hub was just like kind of pushed aside. And then Fur Hub got that big update.
Yeah.
Now, they completely revamped it, and it looks completely different. And then people started going there again, and then Furry Hideout came out with its really nice-looking world, and it's still, like, the most popular furry world that you can go to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting to see the difference between the three of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you think that that there will be another... Excuse me, sorry people. Do you think that there will be another world soon to come out to maybe overtake Furry Hideout? Or do you think it's going to be raining for quite a while? Because they've started, because Lieutenant Shadow started to implement a... my dog just sneezed on my hand, you nasty fucking animal. He just came up to me and sneezed on my hands. Ew. Thanks. Okay, I love you. Go away. Anyway, so he just started to implement like an event portion of the world, right? And yeah. I was like, oh damn. Fucking now he's starting to fucking really get it. And I thought that was pretty smart. It's still super unoptimized, but he's got the foundation there, right? And
yeah,
it's pretty interesting. Do you think anything else is gonna? Do you think there will end up being more variety here before too long?
So from my experience playing VR chat, I feel like there is going to be a world that's going to come out that's going to be on par with it, but I don't think it'll overtake Furry Hideout just because of how popular that it is.
Okay.
Like, I'm friends with a couple of the staff that work for it. Like, I'm friends with Chris. Sometimes I talk to Lieutenant Shadow. I actually did a video with them last year, and it got like not really like popped off, but like it got some views. And I thought it was really interesting that they had like a social media team, a moderator team, a Discord team.
Yeah, it's very sophisticated. And,
yeah. So I don't think there's going to be a world that comes out that is going to overtake the furry hideout for a while.
Okay. Is it because of the sophistication of its staff and the events and all of that that they're doing right now?
That's part of it, but it's also just going to be really hard to like top that, in my opinion.
Try and compete with it. Okay. Have you been to any furry conventions?
I have. So I have been to MFF twice. I've been to our state's local convention, Furry Migration. I've been to that 4 times. And then there was one convention that I went to called Fur Squared, which is in Wisconsin.
It's in Wisconsin. It's, yeah, I was going to say it's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be next to Michigan, but I don't fucking know where they moved.
They're moving in a square.
So I've been to Furry Migration twice, or no, MFF twice, Furry Migration 4 times, Fur Squared once. I actually just went to BLFC last year.
Which one's BLFC? And
that's the one that's in Reno, Nevada.
Oh wow, okay. Are these all considered to be smaller cons, like small cons?
So, I would consider Furry Migration, Fur Squared, and Furry Migration and Fur Squared are kind of on the same state when it comes to like popularity. And then BLFC is a little higher, and then MFF is the biggest fur con in the world.
Yeah, I got you. What's the attendance size for Fur Squared and what was the other one? The one that's
Furry Migration.
Okay, what's the population for those events? Like the attendees, like what's the number?
So I'd say probably around like 3,000, 4,000 every year.
Okay. I would say that's probably just under Denver, which was out in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, so just under that. Okay. Which one did you have the most fun at?
Oh, definitely BLFC.
Really?
mainly because where it's located in a casino. Now, I didn't do like any gambling or anything like that, but just for attending BLFC, you get access. Just by signing up for BLFC and attending, you get free access to mini golf, the pool, and go-karting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then, from what I've heard, I didn't actually confirm this for myself, but you get discounted drinks at the bar.
Ooh.
That's just what I've heard, but like I could be wrong with that. Take that with a grain of salt, but that's just what I've heard.
Whenever I went to Vegas a couple years ago, it was pretty fucking cool because if you're gambling, if you're sitting there playing the slot, little penny slots or whatever, free drinks. Free drinks the whole time. So there's just a waitress that comes by and you feel like a fucking baller whenever they come by and you have like poker chips or some shit. He's like, come by and you're like, do you want a drink? And I was like, yes, ma'am, I do. What do you want? Just give me a Bud Light or, you know, can I get a Long Island iced tea or whatever, right? And they're like, all right. And they leave and they come back and you go, here's a $5 poker chip. Like, here you go. Like, feel like a baller every time. and if you tip, so it's kind of funny how the service is out there. If you tip well, you're fucking priority after that. Like, they're going to make sure you are fucking taken care of. So if you're like, here's a $10 tip, then they're like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to make sure this guy gets his fucking drinks, you know? He's like, woohoo! And it's funny because if you have someone come up to you and they're like, do you want any drinks? And you go, here's a hundo,
keep them coming. And they just go, no problem. Fucking fucking just keep it going. Yep. So there's all sorts of things that you can do out there. But you said you had the most fun over there in Reno. And why did you have the most fun out there? And how big is that con?
So BLFC is a little bit bigger than Furry Migration and First Word. Like, if you say BLFC to somebody that's been in the fandom for about 2 years, they're going to know what it is. But if you say, like, Furry Migration or First Word, they're not going to know what that is.
Gotcha.
Because it's just, they're two smaller conventions, and they're kind of, like, way up north. And, like, the most north people will go if they're in the south is, like, MFF in Chicago.
Or, like, going to, Texas Furry Fiesta, right? And being up in fucking Montana. Yeah, so I get that.
Yeah, so I would say that BLFC is on par with TFF.
Okay, makes sense. So what made it the most fun?
So the main reason why it was so fun was because I got to meet up in room with friends that I had been friends with before I started playing VR chat. It was actually, so on TikTok, I started out on TikTok with just my face, just normal. And I went from my face to these LED glasses that I got at MFF 2019. And then I went from that to a raptor mask, which I still have. Okay. It's still on my shelf. And back then, I was known as Raptor Alex.
Okay.
And then that is where I met my friend, Entity Skulldog. And we became friends, made a Discord together. And that was around the beginning to the middle of, like, the first quarter of 2020. And I have been friends with him ever since. And since I've been friends with him for that long, I was never able to visit him. And I was just able to visit him last year. So that's the biggest thing that made BLFC such a big con for me. And another reason is because there's just so much to do there with all of the stuff that you get access to. Like, with MFF, yeah, it's in Chicago, but it's not in Chicago. It's not, like, in the city.
Yeah.
So you have to drive about, like, I'd say, like, 15 minutes to half an hour to get to Chicago.
We took the train to Chinatown.
Yeah. In order to, like, do anything. Like, yeah, there's the convention center, so you can, like, go to panels and, like, go to the dealer's den or, like, go to room parties. But if you want to do anything outside of the con, you have to drive 30 minutes to get to Chicago.
Chicago's pretty fucking huge.
But with BLFC, it's in such a small city that everything is within walking distance of the main hotel.
Oh, wow. Okay. So is that, have you been to, what's the one that's coming up? FWA? Have you been to that one yet?
I have not, but I want to go one of these years.
Okay. Because girlfriend, Aga, she's going this year, and apparently every fucking person that I know is going. I'm like, oh, great. The one I'm not going to. Fantastic. And, of course, that's how it works, right? But I'm only going to one this year. At least that I know of. Okay. As of right now, I'm only going to one. I don't know. Might go to MFF again. Not sure. But just depends on all these trips that I'm doing this year. But I'm going to Euroference. Yeah. Euroference is the one I'm going to go to this year.
Oh, you're going to Europe.
Yeah. I'm going to fly over to the UK. I'm going to hang out with One-Legged Bandit. I'm going to stay with him for a couple days. Probably a few days. We're going to meet up with Sly Weekly. And we're gonna all three of us are gonna go to the oldest pub in the UK,
and we're gonna drink beer where the Crusaders drink beer. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And then after that, I'm gonna fly to Hamburg, Germany for the actual con. Still have yet to figure out the things with that. But I should be hanging out with, probably not staying with, but hanging out with the Nice Wolf, and he's wanting to do a panel. Yep. And I'm not sure if he secured a spot or not, because I would absolutely do one with him, even though I'm not super popular or anything, but I still have fun doing this shit. And I feel like I'm a little outgoing, right? And I feel like it would be a good time. So one thing I've noticed, and did you ever go to any of the TikTok panels at any of the cons?
Yes. So I went to the TikTok panel at Midwest Fur Fest. But one thing that I noticed is that they never mentioned any sort of VR TikTokers. It's
right.
All about fursuit and dino.
That's right.
Content.
That's fucking right. So that's one thing that would always fucking happen was every single furry convention I've been to with a fucking TikTok panel. There were and I've mentioned it a few times in the podcast. There's a division between fucking VR furries and fursuit furries, and I don't fucking understand why, because we're both paying the same amount of fucking money for the damn to be a fucking furry. So what the hell you want from me? go ahead.
So when I went to MFF, there was like every single VR TikToker that I was friends with was there.
Yes.
Except for like a couple. And we all went to the TikTok panel.
Is that the year that Bubbles slept?
Afterwards.
Mr. Bubbles? Is that the year that Mr. Bubbles slept at the during the TikTok panel? Because apparently that was a fucking thing. They're all sitting there talking and they're just...
I can't remember if it was.
Because I heard the story, so just gonna cut you off real quick just for this story, just real quick. And yeah. So apparently Mr. Bubbles went to a TikTok panel at MFF, and these fursuiters who I've never, like, no one's ever fucking heard of these people, at least in our realm, right? But they have for some reason, like 200,000 fucking followers. It's like, who the fuck are these 200,000 people, right? And, and he's just sitting there racked out as they're like talking, and I don't know why, but you never see any VR furries in there, and I don't get it because we can do some really fucking cool cinematic shit. I mean, we can. We have more ability to do cinematic shit than what they can, and they just dance in their suits, which I get it, but it's... There's a big divide. There's a big fucking divide.
Yeah, when it comes to cinematic stuff, look at the video that Astral Melodia made. She won an award for that. And you don't see any sort of, like, VR TikToking or VR cinematography in any of the real-life cons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And we're part of the fandom, right?
What the fuck?
So, at least I like to think we are.
I mean, I think we are.
Fuck, I guess. I don't know. I carry a little LED backpack with my persona dancing on it. The fuck?
Yep.
Yeah, it's... I don't understand that. Okay, so... So... With the TikTok, so would you ever do a panel? Would you ever do a panel in a real, not the VR, not virality, but okay. Would you ever do a panel in at an actual convention?
So I would love to do a panel, and it would be something like how to do TikTok within the virtual reality universe, something like that, because there are people out there that are like, well, I want to do like VR TikTok content, and then they'll have, since they don't know how to do it, they'll have their TikToks that are like in landscape mode, and nobody yes. wants to watch those.
I did that for a while.
So, I want to teach people how to like orient your camera and how to change it in OBS and how to have your mouth match more with the skit that you're doing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, now I think that would be beneficial for the people that want to do it, because I've noticed that even in my live streams, which all I do in my live streams, and I shit you not, I sit there and talk shit and drink. That's all I fucking do, and people love it. Yeah. And I don't know why. I make fun of people's names and shit, and they're just like, "Oh, you're so funny. Here's money." I'm like, "Why? I'm just making fun of you."
You're funny. Like, have $5.
I like the abuse. Give me more. Give me more. It's like, okay. Okay. No problem, bro.
Yep.
I'm just having fun with it, and yeah. So, yeah. and I use that money for artists. So do you have an artist is a question, since I've been pretty successful.
So I have been in the fandom since around 2010. That's about when I started. I started in the summer of
in the fandom.
And in the fandom. I have not had just one artist that I commission. I actually haven't commissioned art in like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a render artist. I can just make it myself. But it's also a problem of I just don't have the money for it because I don't have a job.
Okay. Well, here's the question. Would you ever do this shit full time?
Content creation or rendering?
Both.
So, what I would probably do is I would get a job for some sort of company doing renders and 3D modeling for them, and then I would do content creation as a side job. If I had the ability to, I would 100% do content creation full-time.
Kind of like...
if it allowed me to, like...
Kind of like what Bardic RJ does?
Yeah, like as long as it allows me to like pay my bills and buy groceries and all that shit. Like if I can comfortably own a house, that's when I say that I've made it as a content creator.
If you paid for it,
not saying that I'm like,
if you paid for it as
like
a content
creator, saying, yeah. So not saying like, oh, I'm a content creator. You have to get me money. No, I'm not saying that. No, I hate people like that. They're like, oh, I make content creation for you, so you have to get me money so I can make more content. It's like,
that's one thing
I
can't fucking stand.
I want to.
Go ahead.
I want to make content and have fun with it. If I get the money, cool. If I don't get the money, that's just as good.
Okay.
That's why I'm slowly but surely starting to get back into Twitch streaming. Ooh. And that's a nice passive income because they've got the ad revenue, and then just occasionally people are like, oh, here's a sub, or oh, here's some bits. I like you. You're cool. Have $5.
Huh. Yeah, that's one. Okay, so one thing that I could never stand. One thing that, and I understand the reasons behind it, but I don't fucking like it, is whenever somebody says like or subscribe to my shit, right? And if you ever noticed any of my content, not a single fucking thing in there ever says like, subscribe, mm-hmm. or follow. None of that. None of it. Yeah. Fuck that. I don't want that because I get that the algorithm, right, picks that shit up to take you places. I would rather grind my teeth along fucking stone to make my way up to the top than to fucking say that shit, because everyone says it and it feels like begging. I will not fucking do it. And I can't. Yep. And whenever people have like ads for the stupidest shit. Okay. And I say ads as in like, they're giving me money, so I'm gonna I'm going to advertise for them. Like, oh God, I just want to skip this shit. What the fuck? I just want to skip this shit. And right. And yeah. Like, okay, so this is a content creator and he's not a furry or anything, but he's very famous. It's called a Fat Electrician. Okay. And that dude.
Oh yeah, I know him.
Okay, so the only shit that he actually advertises for is good shit. Like, actual shit that you can use.
Yeah.
And is actually practical. And shit that he actually uses, right? If yeah. I was going to advertise, I'd be doing that shit. That's it. That is fucking it. I was like, hey, so this knife company, they have sharp shit. And it's fucking good. Trust me. You know, it's like I've gone hunting yeah. with it. And I skinned this fucking deer with it. It works great. I promise. You know, something like that. It's something that's practical. Not oh, look at this mobile game. It's like, I don't give a fuck about your mobile game. I'm not getting
it. Oh, this video is sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends.
God, that fucking thing.
Back when Raid was sponsoring everybody.
I know.
And so, that's why there's this one content creator that I watch all the time. And her name is Call Me Chris. And the only sort of sponsorships that she's done is like Raycon, 1UP, which is so Ray. For those that don't know, Raycon is a wireless headphone brand, and then 1UP is a bottle that has like something in the mouthpiece that flavors the water as you drink it.
Oh, interesting.
And she has only done sponsors like that. She's never been like, oh, look at this mobile game, or look at this game that you can download, or this app that you can download. She's done that maybe like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, those are people, in all actuality, like, those are people that I respect more. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's just, I get that you want to be a full-time artist, right? A full-time content creator. And you have to make ends meet. So you got to do what you got to do. I understand that. But at the same time,
yeah, I 100%
if you put your weight behind everything, it doesn't mean nothing. Right? Like again, you need to be selective with the things that you suggest to people, or else the one time that it has no value behind it, nothing you ever say from fucking then on means anything. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because if I'm going to suggest something, it's going to be top tier shit. Like, that's it. Like, I'm not going to beat around the bush about it. I'm like, hey, no, this shit's good. And have you ever seen the podcast, the Unsubscribe podcast? Have you seen how they do their ads?
I've heard of it.
Dude, they make up their own shit. So they actually go off the fucking cue cards and they just make up their own little fucking ad and they just talk shit about all sorts of crazy stuff. And it works. And they're like, I don't know what you're doing, but you keep doing it and we'll keep paying you. Because they're suggesting these things that actually matter and actually have, you know, weight behind it and is actually worth of value. So people are like, oh yeah, if they're suggesting it, even though the ad is dumb as hell, which is they make their own little skip for that fucking specific little thing that they're advertising, then it works out. And that's like along the lines of what I would do. Have you done any ads or anything whenever you're doing the Twitch? Because I know the Twitch stuff is completely different realm, right? I understand that. And Aga talked to me about it a little bit. And I thought it was interesting because I've really not fucked with Twitch at all. I haven't touched it, really. I have an account, but I haven't messed with it.
So I've done a couple of sponsors. I've done... I'm actually partnered with an energy drink company, and they're an energy drink company called Dubby. And use code Rex at checkout.
Bomb pop. Bomb pop drink.
So, they are the only like ongoing sponsorship that I still have, but I've only had like two people use my code, and it's like, I don't care if people use it. I don't care if people don't use it. But I'll be like, as a joke, I'll be streaming on Twitch and somebody will say something and I'm like, oh, use like my code at checkout for 10% off your order. Yeah. But I don't like go into people's streams and I'm like, hey, use my code. It's just
It's like, is that a big problem?
Like, so for some streamers, they don't like any sort of self-promotion in their streams, which I get. It's like, it's just annoying to some people. Like, I don't allow any sort of self-promotion in my stream unless you are on my stream. Like, let's say I have you on stream and then I'm like, oh, do you go ahead and like promote your podcast, like, or like promote your TikTok, like, go ahead, I don't care. But if you are some random ass person that comes into my chat and they're just like, hey, I'm trying to get it to 1,000 followers, follow me for more shit like that, it's just annoying.
I don't even promote my own shit whenever I go and see my friends, like Potato Foxy, for instance, right? I go see Potato Foxy every now and then, and I'm just like, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm doing good. And then we sit there, we hang out, and then Potato Foxy is always like, go look at their stuff. It's funny. It's good. I'm just like, you don't have to fucking do that. Like, I can just be the white furry dude in the background, you know, just drinking beer and talking shit. You know, I can just be that guy. But another thing is I never really have anybody else in my streams whenever I stream. I just do my shit on my own, and because I feel like if I'm in a stream, I need to give my full attention to the people that are watching, right? I don't know. Maybe it's in my own thing. Some people are like, you know, playing their games, and they're just like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk the entire time while I'm doing this, right? Rather than just talking with the people. So whenever I'm in a stream, I just talk to the chat. Like, that's all I do. And oh God, why am I all the way over here now?
Sit over there.
God damn it. But what's your opinion on that? Like, I gotta know, because you've been doing this shit longer than I have.
So when it comes to streaming, it's really hard for me to do streaming just by myself. Like, let's say I'm streaming a game like Sea of Thieves.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll play it by myself off stream, but when it comes to playing on stream, I always want to be doing something. If I'm not doing something, I feel like I'm not entertaining people. So that's why a lot of my streams are going to be with at least one other person. But whenever I'm playing Sea of Thieves, I'm always playing with at least two other people, because I feel like then we can bounce off of each other and just make it more entertaining for everybody. But when it comes to playing something like, let's say I play Resident Evil 4. If I'm playing by myself, that I don't mind, but I also don't mind being in a Discord with some others that are watching my stream and they can also comment on it. And like, let's say I'm really focused on a game and I'm not paying attention to my chat. If I have somebody else in the call that is watching my chat, they'll be like, oh, this person's trying to get your attention, or this person's trying to do this. It's nice to have that backup.
Okay, so they're kind of watching out for you too, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other games that you stream?
So, mainly I stream Sea of Thieves. I'm at least trying to do a series with a Nabo Yabo. We're playing through Resident Evil 5.
It's Nabo Yabo.
And Nabo Yabo is a TikToker.
Okay.
I actually did a video with him pretty recently. But we're playing through Resident Evil 5, and we haven't done a stream with the game in like 5 weeks, like a month, because I'm like, oh, Nabo, you want to like finally do Resident Evil 5? And he's like, oh yeah, we can do it on this day. And then he completely forgets. I'm like, cool.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Rexus, I think this has been a very enlightening conversation and a very good conversation. What do you think?
Two thumbs up.
Outstanding. All right. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Everybody, thank you for watching. And if you ever decide that you want to come back on, man, you let me know. And we'll maybe get a group together and you know, have a good drinking thing while we all talk or some shit. Whatever it is, that, you know, whatever.
Well, we talked about the most random shit that comes to our heads.
of course. What bros do, right? So anyway, yep. Thank y'all for joining us, and have a good day. Bye.